All right, Romans chapter 1. We're going to focus in this morning around verses 16, 17. We'll move on in, but I want to just start reading from the first verse of Romans 1. I know y'all don't mind me reading the Word of God, do you? And we want you to follow along. If you don't have a copy of the precious Word of God, I know there's one in the pew nearby you somewhere, or share with your buddy sitting by you so we can you can read along with it. There's always a blessing, the Scripture tells us, when we read the Word, when we hear the Word, and the keeping of the Word of God. So we'll begin in verse number 1. The Scripture says, Paul, addressing who he is as the writer, as he writes this letter from Corinth to the church at Rome, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered unto now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. For I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness and full of envy, murder and strife and deceit and evil-mindedness. They are whisperers and backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, whoever you who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, who judged those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. He will render eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, he will render indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And that as many as sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Father, we thank you for the word. We humbly just are blessed by the fact that you would even give us a record, such a revelation of you and your desire to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin, from being unloving and unmerciful, just disobedient to parents, whatever it may be, whatever it is that has missed the mark with you. We're thankful today that you have demonstrated your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So we give you the glory and the praise, and we trust you, we believe you. And what you say is right, what you are doing is just, and we can come before you today and take you at your word that man is what man is, wicked and ungodly apart from you. But we praise God for your grace and the day you touched us and interrupted our lives and made us a new creature in Christ Jesus and set us free from ourselves and from sin and the grip of Satan and the authority that this world had on us to look to you. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we read this description here and think on it, as Paul opens up this letter, and he just simply says who he is, that he's a bond slave. He's a slave. He's a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a great description of a man who has been transformed from being a covenant-keeping Jew who mocked and ridiculed and laughed at those who followed after Jesus, who thought Jesus was a mocker and a blasphemer, who now says, I am a slave of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, a called, separated servant sent out with the message. Not only am I his slave, but I've been sent with a message, an apostle to go tell of his good news. And then he gives a description that I've been separated to the gospel, that my life has a limited stewardship upon it, that I've been given the message of the gospel, and it is to consume my life to go proclaim it to a dying and lost world. And as we look at these things, he gives us a description of Jesus. Just look in verse 2 with me. It says, this gospel was promised before through his prophets and through the Holy Scriptures. I'm thankful that God's word affirms God's word. Amen? Anywhere you go look, it always testifies, and it's accurate. We can trust it. If there's confusion, that's just because we're limited in what we can understand and know. But God's word has promised that he would send a Redeemer, and he did. And it's his son. He says in verse 3, says, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. That speaks of Jesus' humanity. That, yes, he was a man. He was born of a son of David. That speaks of his human nature, which was unlike ours. Ours was inherited sin. His wasn't. Why? Because his father was who? God was his father. He didn't have a father, a natural father like you and I. He had God as his father. He was without sin and lived a sinless life. And verse 4 gives us a description of him being as he is as God. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How did he do this? By the resurrection from the dead. It testified that he was who he says he was, and he is God himself. And then he says in verse 5, it says, through him, that is Jesus, what did we embrace? What did we receive? He said, I received grace and the apostleship. But why did I receive it? Why did he receive grace? For what? Why did he receive grace? For obedience to the faith. Amen? I didn't receive grace so that I can live for myself. I didn't receive this calling to be an apostle so that I could make a lot of money. I didn't receive this salvation by grace so that I can wallow in my own pity. I didn't receive this grace so that I could go out and do whatever I want and not have to worry about it because I received this grace. He said, no, I received grace for this purpose, to be obedient to the faith. That's a revelation for me, amen? I don't know about for you, but that tells me that I've received the grace of God and the calling upon my life for a purpose. And that purpose is to live an obedient life before other people so that I can be used by God to declare a gospel that truly does save and transform lives. He says, I received this grace for obedience to the faith among. The word among is often translated before. So the idea among or before the nations or the Gentiles for his name, among whom also you are called of Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he says in verse 8, which is a good word, for first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith, what you're doing, what you believe, how you're living is spoken of where? Where at? Your testimony in Rome is being spread out through the world. Wouldn't that be a neat thing and which it is, I know it is in various parts of the world, but wouldn't it be a neat thing that we would receive letters from people around the world that would say, boy, the faith of those at Briggs Chapel has spread throughout the world. And we've heard of how you love Jesus and how you love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how you want to be obedient to the faith and how you desire to reach people who hadn't been reached and encourage those who have and disciple those who need to be discipled. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And now we get testimony of people, there's no doubt about it, that know of you and know of what you've done in the past and how God has worked. But that would be a neat thing just to get a regular basis that you hear that folks have heard what God is doing and what Jesus Christ is making a difference in the life of his people in a local fellowship. Spreading around the world, testifying and magnifying to the glory of God. You know what that does to me? It makes me want to have a lot bigger vision than what we normally have. We limit ourselves, don't we? And we don't need to be limited by ourselves. We need to be let God set our boundaries and limits. And I believe God wants to use us not only locally, but I believe he wants to have a global impact with us. That we do have an influence and that people do hear of the great work that Jesus is doing in our lives around the world. So much as that people want to come and invest their lives in with us so that they can have some fruit among us. Because our testimony is spreading around the world, they want to join in and they want to invest something, impart something, and help us so that they can have some fruit among us. And that's what Paul says. Watch what he says in verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And I make requests." This is what I'm asking God. "If by some means, now at the last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." That I may come to you. Your testimony is being told around the world. And for the longest time, I wanted to come and take part of what God's doing in the midst of you. And I've been praying, I've been asking God to send me your way. And I'm just asking God, if it's part of his will, I want to get in with you. And I want to come and see you. And I want to be a part of this work. That'd be neat, wouldn't it? You know, there's some folks, I could think of a few people that tell me all the time how much they'd like to be out here with us. They know y'all and been with you before. You take somebody like Miss Boots Harry. She wants to come out here so bad. I think they're making arrangements for her to get out here. I think they're trying to get somebody with the van to come pick her up and bring her out. She tells me all the time she could visualize. She sits where she normally would be sitting, and she says she could hear those hymns being sung. And she says she wants to get out here so bad if somebody just was able to get her and bring her out here. Wouldn't that be something to be able to know she wants to come and be part of? Why? She loves y'all. Amen? She's been part of y'all before. But wouldn't it be a neat thing if we have somebody who hadn't been out here before, but just heard of the testimony of what God was doing in the midst and wanted to come, even somebody on other part of the world, come and be part of what God is doing. And I believe God's able to do that. Amen? I believe he's able to do such a work that that people see his presence of working in our lives in such a way that they want to come and get part and be part of what he's doing in our midst. Well, I'm sure y'all can think of some folks, too, who would love to come here. People who you've invested in, people who you prayed for, people who have been here before. But let's take it just another notch up and say, God, do a work in our life that it brings magnification to your name. That people such as, I mean, you think, who is the Apostle Paul? He done told us who he is. He's a slave of Jesus. Amen. Not only is he a slave, but he's an apostle. He's been sent with a message. Not only that, he's been separated to give his life entirely to the preaching of the gospel. And he says, for a long time, I wanted to come to Rome so I can be in fellowship with you. I believe I got something for you, he said, and I believe I can help you. And in light of you're going to help me, but I want to deposit something in you so that I can have some fruit among you as well, because God's doing a work here, and I want to invest where God's working. Amen. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered unto now, that I may have what? Some fruit among you also, just as among the other disciples. Let's reverse the role. Is there some church out there? Is there some group of people that Jesus is working in a mighty way that you can see that God's working in them, that you have a desire to also go see them and go invest something in them because you got something to go give away? You know God's doing something in your life. You know the calling he has upon you that you want to go to them so that you can have some fruit among them, that you can impart something to them and give them something that you can have an investment among that fellowship. You ever see that? Don't limit yourself now. You keep in mind, a lot of times this is what we do. We think that I'm just Nick Holden and I don't have nothing to offer and I don't have nothing to offer anybody else. I'm just so glad that I can just be a little fish in the big pond and fail to realize that, folks, if you got God living within you and he's called you and separated you and he's given you a mission in the ministry, you got something to give away. Amen. Now, we can't give away something we don't have. That's important. We can't give away what we don't have. We've got to have something to be able to give away. But if we got it, we should want to go give it away. Amen? Should want to go give it away. I appreciate y'all praying for Stephanie this week as she's preparing to go among a group of ladies and encourage them and equip them and impart something to them. She's going to have some fruit among them. So what God works in them by his grace and produces through them, even though she's way back over here, just the little time she's invested with them, she's going to have some an eternal reward by giving away what God's given her to them and then putting it to work. I mean, look, you can't lose in that situation. Amen? But sometimes I believe we operate in little faith, don't we? And we don't really think that God is able to use me to help another brother or sister. And not just one person or two people, but a whole group of people, a whole congregation of people. And I can impart something to them, a gift that God has given me. You know, the body works that way. Though we all have God living within us, God uses us each individually and uniquely. And one thing that he's doing in me can help a whole congregation or multiple congregations of people and have fruit among them. Why? Because God is glorified when there is fruit, isn't he? And he wants us to what? Help each other to abide in the vine. So not only will we produce fruit, but we'll produce more fruit and much fruit unto his glory. And that ought to be the heart of every one of us, to see that happen in each of our lives. Here it is. We see a great example of that. And then he says in verse number 14, he says, I am a debtor. I'm in debt both to Greeks. I have something to give. I owe them the right to hear the message of the gospel, and to barbarians and to wise and to the unwise. There's nobody that is out of reach for me. In verse 15, I've always been intrigued by this passage. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. And you know, that applies to all of us, doesn't it? As much as is in us, we're ready. Some of us may have more than others. Some of us may have less than my neighbor. But no matter how you look at it, James, whatever's in us, whether that be passions or precepts or promises or the principles of God, as much as is in us, Tommy, we're ready to speak. And we can look at our life. Well, how ready am I? Well, that would depend on how much is in us. When it's in you, you're ready to go give it away, right? Remember what Jeremiah said when he said, I'm not going to speak about the Lord anymore. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Because every time I open my mouth about him, every time I say something, Jody, it causes me trouble. And I ain't going to say another word because it's going to cause me trouble if I do that. And Mr. Bud, he realized that there was a fire inside of him, a passion burning in him. That word was burning him so bad, he said, I'd rather get in trouble with men than try to keep that fire within. I got to get it out. Why? God been giving him things. He had much to give away. He was God's prophet. He had a word to share. And he said, if I don't share it, it's going to eat me up on the inside. Why? As much as is in us, we're ready to give it away. And that's a good indicator for all of us. We need to get more in us. Amen? What you think? You think you need a little more in you? All you got to look at is ask you, how much am I giving away? If I'm giving away little, you know what that means? What does that mean? Y'all tell me. What does that mean? Little women. If I'm giving away a lot, that means what? And I still got room for more, right? So think about it. If I'm only sharing a little, that means I only got a little. And don't never be satisfied with a little. Amen? Be thankful for what you got. Don't get me wrong. But don't get content and be satisfied with a little. You want to be like a fountain, don't you? Don't you want to be like a fountain? Like Jesus said that when the Spirit comes inside of us and lives, out of our belly shall flow what? Rivers of man, out of all of us. You know what ought to be flowing out of us? A river ought to flow out. And a river just don't supply water for a family. It don't just supply water for a community. I mean, rivers supply water for countries, doesn't it? I mean, it travels a long ways. It's an abundant supply. It's more than enough. And Jesus said, when that Spirit is flowing in us, it's going to flow out of us like a river. So we're going to have something in us to give away. Amen? So that's a good indicator. What's in me is coming out of me. And if a lot's coming out of me, be thankful and give God the glory. And you got more to go, more to get in. But if a little's coming out, give him thanks that you got it. But don't get satisfied with a little. Ask for more and keep searching and digging. And then he says this. He's talking about this gospel, carrying the thought over. He says in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Three things about what he says about this gospel. Number one, as we close, and it's not going to take but a minute, is this passage is talking about the means of the gospel or God's salvation, the manifestation of God's pardon, and the ministry of God's people. It's what we see. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The word power is the word that we have. Anybody ever heard this word, dunamis? We get a word dynamite. It means something that's powerful. It has an effect. It's translated at different times as ability and power and miracle and that mindset. But the idea is that the gospel is the means by which God manifests our salvation in Christ Jesus. That's the power of God. It's in the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the message of Jesus Christ. It is the message that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It is a message that the righteous one, Christ, came down and took upon flesh and lived a sinless life so that sinful men and women could be saved by this righteous one and become righteous in him. And there's a lot to what we're reading, and in the book of Romans, in the first part of it that you've been reading, it's a detailed description of the gospel, which includes how wicked man is and how they need a Savior. What Romans 1 is leading to in verse 18 on down through the rest of the chapter. Can you believe God would save somebody like you and me? Isn't that amazing? All humanity falls in that passage from 18 on down. We all fell in it at one time or another, or could be in it right now. Deprived in nature, bent towards sin, changing the truth of God into a lie to justify our lives. But praise God, even as being unloving, unmerciful, disobedient, malicious, deprived, that Jesus would come and save such people like you and me. And he does it by the means of the gospel. It is the means, it is our authority as the people of God to stand on for our salvation. And the gospel is personified in Christ. It is Jesus. It is his life. We was talking about it in Sunday school. Tommy has a little Roman roads thing, card that a man gave him a few years back. And that's what we see. We see this unfolding of God, that man is falling short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None. If you pulled all our righteousness together, piled it up, it's insufficient, isn't it? Isaiah called it filthy rags. And even uses a term like this. It don't make a whole lot of sense to us in the way we talk, but he said all our righteousnesses. If you took everything that might be good or could be good or potential good or what man thinks good, put it all together, it's still insufficient. It's like filthy rags before God. So man can't earn it. Man can't achieve it. Why? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. And God demonstrated his love toward us, and yet while we were sinners, Christ Jesus did what? He died for us. You see, that's God's plan, isn't it? Now, you can believe God's plan and still go to hell, can't you? A lot of people do. You can believe it. You see, but if you don't ever yield your life over to the person who this plan is pointing to, Jesus Christ, you'll perish without him. And this is what the book of Romans is all unveiling for us as you've been reading through it. I wish we could take time, you know, Some guys I know and people I've read that preach through the book of Romans would preach verse by verse, chapter by chapter. A lot of them took several years to just preach through the book of Romans because it's so deep in detail of explaining the nature of man, the unconditional love of God, and the gracious work that he accomplished in Jesus. Take years to go through. But I believe God's able to speak to you right where you are and speak to you while you're reading through it, and that you see that God is a merciful and just and loving creator, and man is fallen in nature, and it needs a Savior. And that Savior has been provided, and his name is Jesus. And you and I just need to go preach that gospel, tell people about him, and let God do the saving, and you just do the preaching. Amen?
Amen.
And let him have his way. He'll save. He'll separate. And he will use you a lot more than you ever thought or imagined he would or could. Just get busy about preaching the gospel and watch what he do. Don't you want some fruit?
Amen.
Why? What does fruit do? Glorifies our God. Amen? Gives him glory. Not that I can receive glory, not that you can receive glory, but that he receives glory by just being fruitful. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for such a clear testimony of the truth of the Word of God. We're thankful that you give such an accurate description of us and our ungodliness and our wickedness. And we just praise you and thank you that you have revealed to us in that condition, but you've shown us Jesus, our answer. Thank you for the plan that introduces us to your man, your Redeemer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Rescue the perishing, and Lord, send out your people in the fields that are white for harvest. And may we not ever be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is your power, it is your means by which you introduce yourself to a fallen man, woman, boy, girl. and your desire to rescue their life. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.